We do something here at Christian Growth Center, and I pray every church that is called a church does it. We honor the blood of Jesus. Amen. Last week we talked about a risen Savior, right? And I hope that y'all went home with some revelation on why we celebrate a risen Christ, what that means to us. But you know, if Abel's blood, the slain blood of Abel by his brother Cain, cries out and speaks, it spoke to God, how much more does the blood of Jesus speak to us? The blood is speaking. The blood is speaking. The blood is compelling us to be a witness to the blood, for the blood, on behalf of the blood, to the world. Amen? We honor the blood of Jesus and we thank God for sending His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross and what that means to each of us, that you can have freedom. Freedom from sin, yes, but you can have deliverance in every area of your life. Amen? Just think about that a minute. What the blood provided for you. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross provided for your deliverance. Your deliverance from sin, your deliverance from the grave and hell and death, your deliverance from physical ailments, your deliverance from mental issues. He died and delivered you from all of that. Amen. And you need to keep that in the forefront of your mind. Get revelation of it so it drops down into your heart. And when you have revelation of that, that's when nothing can take it away from you. Amen. Nothing can take it away from you. No matter what circumstance you're going through, no matter what situation arises in your life, nothing can take that from you. And you can stand on that, knowing that it is true, it is real, and it's for you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, glory to God. We've been talking about this being the year of alignment. And I see this more and more. I see things coming into alignment with God, with the kingdom. And that translates into our lives. You know, it transfers or translates into our lives. And we, as individuals, need to come in alignment, right? We've been talking about coming in alignment with our assignment. Each of us has a purpose. Each of us is a part. And we have to play our part. And we have to coordinate with other parts in the body. Amen? But we're doing that. We're talking about that. Someone just told me, now I'm going to share that a little bit later. I think that'll work a little bit later. But say this with me, will you? Say, I expect to hear from God today. I expect to hear from God today. I believe if you put an expectation on the Word, He'll meet you right where you are. He will meet you right where you are. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. He'll speak to you. He'll give you insight. He'll reveal mysteries unto you. And as we learned in class today, the more time you spend with Him, the easier you'll hear and understand and know Him. Amen? So we've been talking about that. We've been talking about aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit, right? If you missed any of those, you want to go back and listen to them. But just a quick recap, you know, we honored Mike and Kim because we give honor where honor is due. Well, it says to honor the Word. We're to honor the Word. In fact, Tricia ministered on that not too long ago about honoring the Word of God. And she was talking about the prophetic Word that was coming out, but also honoring the gift that He's placed inside of you. But we need to honor the Word of God. We need to treat it with respect. You know, when you get a word, whether it's from this pulpit, from someone on television, a tape that you're listening to, a book that you're reading, more than not, hopefully this, When you get a word and it, you identify with it, you need to honor that. And some of us honor that differently. I mean, some of us meditate on it. Some of us have journals. We'll write it down in there so we can reflect on it, go back over it. If you're like me, you need to do that. Sometimes my memory, it flees from me, but that's, I believe, a ploy of the enemy to try to steal that word from us. So we need to write those things. We need to honor that word that is heard, that is sown into our heart. And when we honor it, when we give attention to it, it'll come to fruition.
Amen.
Right? It's just think of your flowers at home. If you don't water them, if you don't get them near some light, if you don't honor them, if you will, they're not going to produce and blossom and become beautiful. Well, the word is just like, you know, when you honor that word, when you give attention to it, when you water it, whether that's by going back and meditating on it after you've written it down, when you honor that word, it'll blossom, it'll bloom in your heart.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? So we've been talking about that, honoring the word that is taught, remembering it, bringing it to our remembrance. So when we leave out of here, you know, we don't just, oh, that was great, and we leave and we go eat and we forget all about what was said. No, we put that in our memory, we write it down, we honor it, and we remember it. And we talk about being led by our inner witness, that inner witness of truth. That's how we're led, you know. He leads. And I love something that came out this morning about, and I forget, Wanda, who said that originally. I don't know if it was Mark Brazier or someone else, about how it's like a magnet. The Holy Spirit will, on one end, draw you towards something, and then on another end may push you away. And if you know magnets, if you ever, you know, they when you get them close, there's a buffer, and it's not abrupt until you get them real close. But you know what I'm saying? It'll draw them in, and then it'll repel also when he doesn't want you to do something or what have you. So, and then we talked about so that we wouldn't err. He shows us things to come. The Holy Spirit shows us things to come so that we don't err when we get there. Does that make sense? You think about it. If you're driving down the road and that little Google map that you're looking at, if it's like mine, 2 miles until your right turn, 1 mile until your right turn, half a mile until your right turn, quarter mile until your right turn, turn right, turn right, turn right. No, I don't do that. But if you saw 2 miles ahead where you're supposed to turn, how easy, it's much, much easier to follow that direction. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to show you 2 miles ahead of something that you're coming up against. And if he shows you ahead of time, you're prepared. Y'all see that? So this is talking about getting alignment with the Holy Spirit. Getting in alignment with the Holy Spirit. And when we're in alignment with the Holy Spirit, again, this is a year alignment. We're talking about getting in alignment with our assignment. We're talking about getting in alignment with the Holy Spirit. When we're in alignment with him, then his gifts will flow more freely. His gifts will flow more freely. And one of those gifts, which we touched on last time, was the gift of tongues. The gift of our spiritual language. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. I want to go a little bit deeper. And we read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you want to turn there. If not, it'll be on the thing. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in the Amplified. Verse 2, and I read this last time, it says, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding." Let me just read that again, because that's very profound. If you will just let that soak in. And you may say, but Todd, I don't have the gift of tongues. That's okay. We're going to talk about that. That's okay. But listen to this. "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God himself. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding." So you might say, well, I don't have that gift. Well, one, it is available. But two, if you back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to show you that you're not alone. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 out of the Amplified. And I'm going to skip around a couple verses, but I want to start in verse 1. And I'm going to read it right off my sheet. I printed it out, so I don't have to go back and forth. But it is Scripture. Now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy, brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. You see, there's a lot of misinformed people about the spiritual gifts today. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of false information about the spiritual gifts today. But Scripture is very clear. It says, I don't want you to be misinformed about these gifts. Drop down to verse 4. It says, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, that's gifts or extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. You see, right there it says that they're distributed differently. And you can get a list of the nine gifts. In fact, we're gonna read them in a minute. But they are distributed differently. That's important. Just keep that feather in your cap for a minute. And if you drop down to verse 7 reads, but to each one, somebody say, I'm an each one, is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that is the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. Say good and profit. Keep that feather in your cap. It's always for good and profit. It's not to bring confusion. It's not to bring distraction. It is always for good and for profit. Verse 8, to one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. And to another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example, recent example, of wonder-working faith, I believe. I believe it was wonder-working faith that delivered me from that brain bleed. You see, no one came into that hospital room and laid hands on me for healing. Right? Nobody performed a miracle over me, although that was a miracle. But I believe faith rose up, and I can tell you, I can attest to it. Faith rose up on the inside of me, knowing that I was going to be okay. I knew it. Carol, nothing could have taken, I don't care what the doctor would have come in there and said, but nothing could have stolen that from me. Because that wonder-working faith had rose up on the inside of me. Amen? To another, that the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. See, so sometimes it's going to be by healing. Someone laying hands on someone and them getting healed. Or speaking a word to them and them getting healed. And that's for someone else. That gift is in you for someone else. But the gift of faith is in you for you. Does that make sense? Amen. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift, that is, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. Verse 11, all these gifts, these achievements, these abilities are inspired and brought to pass, and this is what I'm talking about, getting in alignment with the Holy Spirit today. They are all brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. Apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. And that is why we must be in alignment with the Holy Spirit. So we can hear and know what gift he is apportioning to us. Amen? Amen? Yes. Now, if you skip down to verse 27, same chapter, it says, "Now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it, each part severally and distinct, each with his own place and function." That's what we've been talking about. Getting in alignment with our assignment. Each of us has a place and a function, an assignment, if you will, to fulfill in the body of Christ. 28. "So God has appointed some in the church for his own use. First apostles," that's special messengers. "Second prophets," that's inspired preachers and expounders. "Third teachers," then wonder workers. "Then those with the ability to heal the sick, helpers, administrators." And what we're talking about today, speakers in different or unknown tongues. Now here's the part that will set you free if you do not have the gift of tongues. It says, "Are all apostles special messengers? Are all prophets inspired interpreters of the will and purposes of God? Are all teachers? Do all have the power of performing miracles? Do all possess extraordinary powers of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" In other words, it was a rhetorical question. Not all have these gifts. They're available. Listen to me. They are available, but not all operate in those gifts. I personally don't have the gift of interpretation. I have prayed and said, "God, if there's a word in tongues and you give me the interpretation, I will gladly speak it out." But not once has he given me the interpretation. And not yet. Not yet. Not yet has he. But it is available to all of us. Do you see, I'm trying to... Don't walk in condemnation if you don't operate in a spiritual gift. Okay? We're going to get into this a little further. Don't walk in condemnation. Because verse 31 says this, "But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces." That is the higher gifts and the choicest graces. He's saying, cultivate them. Desire them. It's okay to desire these gifts. If you want to operate in one of these gifts of the Spirit, it is okay to desire. I desire to interpret a message given in tongues. Have I done it yet? No. Not yet. Amen? And then it says, let's put it all in context here. "And yet, if you're desiring these gifts, these spiritual endowments, if you are zealously cultivating them," he says, "and yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all." What is it? Love. 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 We are to desire these things, but there is a more excellent way. And if you go on to chapter 13, I'm not going to take the time to read the whole chapter. You should be familiar with it. If you're married, you may have even heard some of it when you gave your marriage vows. I use it when I marry people. It's the love chapter. It talks about what love is, that sacrificial love, how we are to act when we walk in love. And it's the greatest gift, more excellent than all the spiritual gifts combined, I believe. But then in chapter 14, it's interesting. He picks right back up on the importance of tongues and the gifts. So you got these two chapters, chapter 12. The Holy Spirit is so cool how he arranges stuff. You got chapter 12 talking about the spiritual gifts. You got chapter 14 talking about the spiritual gifts. And right in the middle, you got sandwiched love. I believe his intention, and this is my interpretation, I believe his intention was to show the importance of operating in these gifts out of love. If spiritual gifts are the buns, love is the meat in between. Amen? And who likes to just eat buns? I love bread, but I got to have me some meat in between my bread. We are in. We enjoy the meat of the Word. We have matured and progressed from the milk of the Word, which is essential. We're raising a calf right now. Y'all, I am not a country person. You know, my wife broke me in easy with horses because I thought horses were cool. You know, horses are all right. They race, they're fast, they're big, they're strong, they look good. And now we got these chickens. And I was cool with the chickens because at least I can eat the eggs. And I love eggs. I eat them every day just about. But now we got this calf out there, constant mooing because it's hungry. And unfortunately, the mother died giving birth to it, so it has to be bottle raised. So I understand how essential milk is to the growing process. And that thing gets loud when it gets hungry. Every morning. It's worse than a rooster. I mean, cow can make noises I couldn't even imagine cows can make. But he is slowly graduating from milk, and he's eating grass and grain, and one day he won't need that milk anymore. That's how we should be in our spiritual walk. Thank God for the milk of the Word. Thank God for the milk. But at some point, we have to progress to the meat of the Word. Amen? And that's what we're doing. We're sowing faith so that we are growing in righteousness. Amen? So chapter 14, if you get back to that, picks right back up on the importance of tongues. But this time, it kind of qualifies the gift with instructions on how it's to be used. And we'll read just that portion again, but it basically is saying, and I'm not going to take time to read it, but in public, we must have interpretation, right? So if a word is given in tongues in public, in a public setting, there must be interpretation, because the Word talks about, if there's no interpretation, then how are those that are sitting around to be edified by it? Because it's as if you're speaking, it'd be like you speaking Russian to me. I don't speak Russian, I don't understand Russian. So if there's no interpretation of that tongue message, it's like you're speaking Russian to me, and I'm not edified. You may be edified. In fact, the Word says that you are edified when you pray and speak in tongues, right? The person doing the speaking is edified. But those around are not, unless there be interpretation. Amen? It's for the edification of the user, not the hearer, unless there is an interpretation of it. In fact, Paul goes on to say he'd rather speak five words intelligibly in a public setting than 10,000 words in tongues. Now, that's a pretty big disparity. We want to hear and understand. That's what prophecy is, inspired preaching and teaching. And that's giving edification to the hearers, because you are speaking out the Word of God. You are giving insight to the Word of God in the ear of the hearer. But when a message in tongues comes, there can be interpretation. And what he's saying is, we read it. Verse 2, let me read it again. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. So when a message in tongues come, and you see Pastor Rob and Trish operate in this fluently, a message comes in tongues and the interpretation comes, and there's edification in that. And sometimes it's very specific, and it's something that couldn't have been known otherwise. You know, you've heard other people get up and say, I don't know how to say this any other way. So the message comes in tongues, and then there's an interpretation. Amen? Why are we talking about all this? Because we need to get in alignment with the Holy Spirit. If you do not have a prayer language, I believe that you should desire that, and you should zealously cultivate it. In fact, it says to strive for it, to earnestly desire it. Paul puts it this way, to zealously cultivate. Zealously cultivate. Here's a definition of cultivate. Try to acquire or develop a quality, sentiment, or skill. When you zealously cultivate something, that means you're trying to acquire it. Or if you have it, you're trying to develop it. That quality or skill. And another definition, and this is so cool, I love it. To cultivate. Break up the ground in preparation for sowing or planting. Break up the ground in preparation for sowing or planting. And if you think about the parable of the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word of God. Right? And it goes into the ground of the heart. And we've been talking about it. And we got to get our banner made again. How do we break up the ground of our heart or the ground of someone else's heart to receive the word? I believe it's by prayer. That word that came, you cannot receive a harvest unless you first prepare the ground. Unless you first prepare the ground of the heart, your heart, the heart of the hearer, then you will not receive a harvest from that. So I think it was interesting that he used those words, zealously cultivate. Zealously break up the ground in preparation for sowing or planting. So, how do you cultivate these gifts that we're talking about, these spiritual endowments? How do you acquire or develop them? By praying about them. By praying about them. If you don't have one of those gifts and it's a desire, he says he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you have a desire to operate in one of those spiritual gifts, then pray about it. Pray about it. Or if you operate in that gift and you want to get better at it. That's terrible. If you want to get better at it, then pray. Pray. Pray about it. And evidently, according to Paul, the more zealous you are, the better. You know, it says in the Bible that the kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. The zealous take it. I mean, if you want it, you got to go after it. You got to go after it. I used to be a wrestler. I told you all that. And man, I wanted a state title. I wanted it. But I wasn't zealous enough to go after it. I wanted it, but I didn't have the heart to take me there. I believe I had the skill. But I didn't have the heart to take me there. We have to prepare our heart to take us there, to grab the kingdom, to take it by force if necessary. Amen? Definition of zeal is great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective. If we're to zealously cultivate, we're to have great energy. And I did. That's why when as a wrestler, I didn't have that great energy, that enthusiasm, that pursuit of the cause or the objective that I had set in my mind. So we have to go after it to attain it. Kelvin could give me 100 acres of land. You got 100 acres of land?
Not yet.
Okay. We're just speaking hypothetically then. He could give me 100 acres of land. But if I want corn, what do I got to do? I got to prepare the ground. I got to plant the seed. I got to make sure it gets watered and taken care of. I got to go out and walk through it, like in the field of dreams with his hands running, speaking to my corn. Oh, what lovely corn you are. You have great big ears. Wonderful kernels in your ear. You got to speak to it.
That's right.
You got to speak to it. In other words, he can give me 100 acres and I can want corn all day long, all year long, my entire life. But if I don't do anything to that field, if I don't sow the seed, it's just going to sit there. That's how these spiritual gifts are, okay? God has freely given them to us. But if we don't go after them, if we don't zealously cultivate them, if we don't earnestly desire them and go after them with tenacity, they'll sit there. It doesn't mean that they're not ours. We can even receive the gift. That's like receiving a present at Christmas time. I can give Carol a present all wrapped in pretty bow and beautiful paper. And it's hers because I've given it to her. But if she don't unwrap it and get to it, it's of no benefit. Other than unless she wants to sit it on her mantle because it's so pretty the way I wrapped it with that beautiful bow and that beautiful paper. Y'all see what I'm saying? We need, as a church, yes, as a church, to get in alignment with the Holy Spirit. But as individuals, you need to get in alignment with the Holy Spirit. And the Word said it. You can earnestly desire those gifts that He's given. You can zealously, with enthusiasm and energy, go after them and cultivate them. If you have those gifts, you can improve upon them, if you will. I don't know. I'm still at a loss for my word on that. But they are gifts given. In fact, Jesus, let me put it this way to bring it on home. Jesus shed His blood so that you could have these gifts. He died so that you could have these gifts. Because if He didn't die, then He didn't ascend. And if He didn't ascend, He didn't send another. Amen? Send another with His gifts available to us. For what? Profit and good. For the building up, the edification of the body of Christ. For the witnessing of Jesus to unbelievers. You know, we've been talking about it and we've been focused on it about taking this outside of these four walls. It's the people out there that need to be hearing this. Y'all hear it every week. And we're growing. There's nothing wrong with that. And we're celebrating together as a unified body. But it's we need to take that message out there. You know? Lee sent me something on Messenger and it said something to the effect that the people out there don't know nothing about what's, and I'm paraphrasing in my backwoods Virginia vernacular. They don't know nothing about what goes on in here. They've never stepped foot in a church, some of them. Or some of them have misunderstood, misinformation about what goes on. And we're to set the record right, straight. We're the ambassadors. We're the ones promoting the message of Christ. We need to be doing it out there to the ones that don't know. We need to come in here and get built up and edified ourselves, encouraged, build our knowledge base up, build our understanding of who we are in Christ. And that's my job to help insist in that, to encourage you, to edify you, to lift you up, to inspire you to want to go out and do the work of the ministry. Right? He put the fivefold gifts or assignments in the body of Christ to build up the body so that the body would go out and do the ministry. Amen? So that's my encouragement to you today. Get in alignment with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about this being the year of alignment, and I'll continue in that vein until the Holy Spirit tells me to go in a different direction. But we are getting in alignment with our assignment in this earth. We all are called and have a purpose. We all can hear, if we're born again, from the Spirit of God that will lead and guide us into all truth, right? He'll teach us all things. And not only will He teach us, He'll bring it back to our remembrance when we need it. And He will even show us things to come. We talk about praying out ahead all the time. Praying out ahead, praying out things ahead. And that's, you're in tune with the Spirit, so, and He'll show you things to come, just like that Miss Google on your device. I switched mine to an Australian accent. Mickey says all the time, he wished I was Australian, don't you? I said, no, I just want you to talk like one. Because I like their accent. Yeah, you didn't know that. You can change your voice on the little printout or on the thing. And so mine says, left turn now. I don't know how they talk. I can't remember. Good day, mate. You're having a good day. I am. Silliness. Well, glory. Be encouraged. You know, this is what, if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You are very special to God. You are extremely special to God. You are the apple of His eye. When He sees you, His eye just gleams. And I just can, I don't know if He smiles, but I see this big old smile. That's how we think, you know. You are very special. You have a unique gift. And God wants you to use that gift to reach out to people. Some of you have the most beautiful smile that the world has ever seen. Show that smile off. Smile to everyone you come in contact with. Some of you have the gift of gab. Some more than others. That's okay. Use that gift. Use that gift to talk to people. Be winsome in all that you do. What do I mean by that? Be winsome. I'm not saying you have to speak Scripture everywhere you go, but be winsome. Let your attitude be winsome. Let your countenance reflect a winsome heart in everything that you do. And expect, listen, expect doors to open around you. Expect that. Get up every morning with the expectation that you're going to meet somebody, that you're going to share something with somebody, see somebody, encourage somebody. No matter what you're doing, no matter what you're doing, even if you're driving in your car, well, I don't see nobody. Well, you see a lot of people on the road. Some of them ain't so nice. You just wave and smile back. That's what I do. Some of us, I ain't naming no names. So be encouraged. Know that you are special, you are loved, and that you have a gift, and the body needs your gift. The body needs your gift to function properly. And if you read through chapter 14, this is your assignment. Here's your faith assignment. Your faith assignment. It won't take you long. I promise it won't take you long. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Do it tonight and read them together and put it in context. And you'll see some things. I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal some things to you. Why? Because you audibly said it, that you expect to hear from God today.